Good morning, everyone. It's time to start our worship service. If it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing, God, You Reign. Couple announcements, and then I think Miss Becky has some. September 13th, there will be a deacons meeting at 7 p.m., and then the 18th, we'll have a business meeting during the evening service.
Less than a week. All right. Before I forget, Lauren says that the kids need to bring extra clothes because they will have a sprinkler in the bubble machine. So if you don't want your kids wet for the day, bring some extra clothes. I think we're pretty good. Shirley still needs lots of help in the kitchen. And we just want everybody to come and have a good time and mingle with the people and make sure that we show a good witness to them.
We need potato salad, coleslaw, cornbread, and cookies. We're starting to have a lot of cookies come in, just so you know that. But we're going to need a lot of cornbread. There are a number of pizzas in the freezer that need to be gotten because we need the space for the stuff for the rally. So if you would like to have pizza for your lunch today, you might stop by and get your pizza out of the freezer. We're going to be working on Friday. I'll be here at 8, so come when you can. There'll be something for you to do. We'll be packaging everything. So, thank you very much.
All right. Also, Awana starts on September 14th. All right, so not this coming week, but the next week. All right, and that goes it. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for every blessing you've given us, Lord. I pray for the service we're about to have, Lord. I pray we have ears to hear and ready to do what you call us to do, God. I pray you watch over and protect us, and let us have a great week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, it's the 1st of September. Can you believe it? So, if you are having a birthday this month, come forward and we're going to sing happy birthday to you. Oh, looky there. You didn't even have to leave. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. We love you, we do. We love you, we do. We love you, God bless you. We love you, we do.
All right. All right. Any anniversaries? I saw Mike Disram get up, nudge Pam to get him on down here. All right, here we go.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. Moment of truth.
49.
Congratulations. All right, let's all stand and just sing Nothing But the Blood.
Oh,
triple spread where the saints of God are fed. Come and dine. One, two, three. Jesus had a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invited his chosen people, come and dine. With his man he does feed and supplies our every need. Oh, to sweet up with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, let's call it, come and
for me.
Savior that is in the fire with us,
speed through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and its reckoning, I know I will never be
good news, isn't it? Most of us are either in the fire or we're getting ready to be in the fire. Have a couple of housekeeping things here. One is water and soda pop for Saturday. You call it soda pop, I've called it that all my life. So, we still need more of that. We have a lot, and you've been really good and gracious to do that for us, and we really appreciate it. But you can put that in the foyer of the gym as you bring that to help us out. And all of those of you that are going to help with the car show, and your life matters, rally. We get to calling it a car show and forget what it's all about. But it's your life matters rally, and we've been doing it for several years, and we want the folks of our community to know that their life matters, and those that will be coming to look at the cars or bringing their kids to play in the soap suds, that their life matters, and we want them to be a part of that. I have a couple of notes that I want to read, and this is from Lee and Bev and Becky, the Howe family, to our church family. Thank you for the Bibles that you donated in memory of Bill. His memory will always be with us. God bless each one of you, each and every one of you, Lee, Becky, and Beverly. There was another card with that and a little note at the bottom that says, we'll miss all of you. Thank you for all of your love. And we'll certainly miss Bill and Lee and all that they meant to this church. Our young men will come and receive the morning offering. And if you're visiting with us for the first time, or if you have been here before and you haven't put a visitor's card in the offering plate, we'd like for you to do that for us. We'd have a record of your visit, and it'd tell us just a little more about you, and that card should be in the pew there in front of you. Brother Larry will lead us in prayer.
Would you bow with me, please? Lord, we thank you that we're blessed with another opportunity to come and worship you and give you thanks. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us and so much that we don't deserve. We ask your blessing on this offering, Lord, and we just thank you for all the blessings you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're involved in children's church. We're going to allow you to take charge of your group right now. By the way, thank you all for helping. That's a good ministry of the church. Sunday school teachers and Awana workers, children's church. Those things that we could not make it without. Thank you for being here. I want to really urge you to be a part of Your Life Matters Rally Saturday, and we're going to do some preparation on Friday evening. Maybe some things will be going on Wednesday evening. I get things sent to me pretty regular on a regular basis, and Sometimes I see something that I think the church really needs to see this. The church needs to hear this. And I guess I could just memorize it and say it to you, but I'm not, I can't do that. So there's a couple of things that I really want you to see. Everybody understands that you understand I'm talking to everybody in here? It don't seem to get across sometimes. Tonight, we're going to show me and this mouse I got in my pocket are going to show a video of a testimony of a Mormon who found Jesus. It is fantastic. It gives a huge, huge testimony of the Word of God and how powerful the Word of God is. If we can get the Word of God out to people in any form that we can, it is powerful. The Bible says of itself that it is alive. And I want to urge you to come tonight at 6 o'clock, and that's if we can get it to play, that's what we're going to do. I'm prepared to preach, I really want you to see this. And then Wednesday night, Gwen and I have been working our way through the book of Revelation and listening to a preacher out of Virginia teach on the book of Revelation. And there is one. I'd like for you to see it all. But there's one teaching on the churches that the seven churches that Jesus speaks to in the book of Revelation. And the last church is so apparent of where we are. So apparent. And this guy's really sharp. He is really in-depth. And so Wednesday night, we're going to show that in the gym. And maybe tonight we'll do the testimony in the gym. But we'll see whether we can get it all together or not. We've got, we're going to do our best to get that together. Not going to ask you to stand yet. I want to read you a passage of Scripture, and we're going to have an anointing. And I want to just say a word or two about what I believe about that. I have I've been pastoring about 50 years, and I've always, from the time I read the book of James, I've made this part of every church that I've pastored. And when folks felt like that they wanted to be anointed for sickness, we've always made a practice of that. Sometimes we've gone to the hospital and done that with the deacons, sometimes to individuals' houses, and in other situations. But if you've been here for any length of time, you know that the church believes and practices anointing. And so I want to read you a passage that gives us the command to do that in the book of James, the 5th chapter, and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Sunday night after the service, Brother Travis Fusion talked with me for a little bit and asked me about anointing. And he said, "Do you think I qualify for that?" And I said, "You most certainly do, in my opinion. Brother Travis is going on Tuesday morning to have open heart surgery, have bypass surgery. And we want to pray for him and stand by him, and also we want to, at his request, we're going to anoint him with oil. And I'm going to ask the ordained man to join me up here at the front. And Brother Travis, if you would also come and join us up here. Travis, I'm going to ask you to just get on your knees right there. Can you? Is that all right?
Yeah.
What I believe that the Bible tells us to do is to call for the elders of the church and have them to pray over the individual. And it says in the scripture, the prayer of faith to save the sick. And so I am going to anoint Brother Travis and pray over him. And then I'm going to pass the anointing oil to each one of the men, and they are going to do the same thing. Why don't y'all just gather around him here and get on knees and put your hands on him, and then each one of you. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy, Lord, the very best that we know, we want to be obedient to what you've called us to do. We want to be obedient as a church and as individuals. And Lord, you said in your word that let the sick call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them and anoint them with oil. And Lord, that's what we want to be obedient to this morning. We want to do that. So we ask in Jesus' name that you'd touch Brother Travis's body, that you'd heal him. Lord, as he goes to the hospital, that you would anoint the surgeon, the nurses, everyone that ministers to Travis, and we pray that his healing would be supernatural, your hand be so strong, so powerful, and your grace would be so mighty in his life that it'd just be a testimony. In Jesus' name I pray. Why don't we stand together, reach and get the hand of the person next to you and join the aisles across the way. I don't want to turn around. Help me, will you? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Amen. You be seated. And if you're not a member of the family of God, I hope before you leave today that you'll become part of the family of God. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, the first chapter. The book of Romans, the first chapter. I'm preaching out of a new Bible. It's the same kind of Bible that I've used for about 40 years. It's called the Open Bible by Nelson, and it's a King James Version. One of my friends got this for me, and I'm going to try it out. We'll see how it preaches today. So Romans, the first chapter. And stand again, get your exercise in, and let's give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And we're going to read the first, I am going to read the first seven verses, and you'll follow along in your Bible or your device, whatever you might have. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. In all of Paul's letters to the different churches, he started those churches, but he did not start the church at Rome. There's some discussion about who did or how it got started, but I would have go along with those that believe that when the church was dispersed on the day of Pentecost, the church was told to go to Jerusalem, the apostles, and wait for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And when the empowering of the Holy Spirit came and persecution came to the church, Christians were dispersed throughout the country and they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And they became Christians, and so they began to meet in groups that we call churches. The word church literally just means gathering, a gathering. And so he is sending this letter to the gathering at Rome. Now the people who started the church at Rome had quite a challenge before them. It was at that time the largest city on earth. It was filled with all kinds of vile sin. And yet here was this church that was preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, and people were coming to faith in him. And so Paul is writing this letter to correct some things, but also to encourage them in the things of the Lord. So somewhere around 50 years Maybe less than that. After the resurrection, Paul writes this letter to the church at Rome. So he answers questions that were on the hearts of the believers. If you'll remember last Sunday and the Sunday before, we talked about the book of Thessalonians. We were in that and we were talking about the rapture of the church. And so Paul explains to the church at Thessalonica that those folks that had died before Jesus raptures the church, we didn't need to worry about them. They had already gone to be with the Lord. And when the rapture of the church takes place, those graves are going to open up and those Christians are going to get new bodies. And they're going to ascend to the meeting. And the Bible says there in Thessalonians, and we'll forever be with the Lord. Three of the questions that he answers in this book is, how can man come into a right relationship with God? And I think that question's still on the hearts of people today. I don't know if it's on your heart today or not, but it ought to be on all of our hearts, being in a right relationship with him. But folks are trying all kinds of different things to find God. There's really, God created us with this vacuum in us that seeks for God. And so some folks go in the wrong direction. They're seeking some kind of world religion in order to be able to find God, or they're hoping to find satisfaction in some kind of relationship, or they're hoping to find satisfaction in some kind of drug or in alcohol or in something else. And so Paul is telling them there's a way for us to be right with God. Martin Luther, who was a Catholic monk, began to study the book of Romans, and he discovered that the Catholics were wrong. That you were not in right standing with God by paying penance or doing some kind of work, but you were only right with God by the grace of God. We're saved, the Bible says, by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, and if there's never been that time where you have responded to the wooing of His Holy Spirit, where you've asked Him into your heart as Savior, you're still not part of the family. You're still not saved. But you could be today by simply asking the Lord to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, and be your Savior. And I'm not ashamed to say that next step is baptism. That you follow the Lord in believers' baptism after that. Baptism is not what saves you, but a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus is what saves you. In the third chapter of John, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, and so you must be born again. And you're born again by asking Jesus into your heart as personal Savior. I've had the opportunity on several occasions to lead folks in that prayer, and I try to tell folks it won't do me any good to pray this prayer. It won't hurt me any, but it won't do me any good to pray this prayer because I've already prayed it, and I've already asked Jesus into my heart as personal Savior. But to lead them in that prayer to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I want you to come into my heart and be my Savior. That's simple, isn't it? I tell you, it is simple, but it was a high-cost deal for Jesus. He died on the cross to pay your sin debt and to pay my sin debt on the cross. I had the opportunity, it's been a few years ago now, but I visited Roger Grisham's grandma and grandpa out in the country. Help me, somebody. I'm trying to think of their names. Is what now? Ed and Sue. Thank you, Gene. Ed and Sue. And so I'd gone through the scripture with them and through the plan of salvation. And we got on our knees there in front of their couch. And I led Sue in the sinner's prayer. And she prayed, "Lord, I'm a sinner and lost. Come into my heart and be my Savior." And then Ed was on this side of me, and he was on his knees, and he had his hands, had his head on his hands there on the couch. I said, "Okay, Ed, your turn. Heavenly Father," I said, "Heavenly Father, oh, I'm a sinner and lost." He was silent. Now, I think he was weeping. I think his heart was broke. But the sweetest moment that I can ever remember in my pastorate, his wife said, "Say it, Paul. Say it, Paul." And he said, "Lord, I'm a sinner and lost. I want you to be my Savior." Isn't that not sweet? I mean, is that not the easiest thing that you can possibly think of for a person's life to be changed? And so here, Paul is going through the book of Romans, and he is going to explain to them a relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. A relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter what you work at or what you do, but it's most important. Secondly, how can we have peace and victory in our life? And he explains that. Even when there is turmoil. Peace in the midst of turmoil. Peace in the midst of persecution. Peace at a time that you may lose your life at any second. That's where these Romans were. That they could lose their life at any minute because of their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, is it not strange? We talk about that and talk about persecution, talk about that the Christian life isn't an easy life, and then you give an invitation for folks to become Christians. Well, I'll tell you, the end result is the important thing, because there's only two places to spend eternity. One is with Jesus in heaven. The other, the Bible defines as hell. And it tells us that it is a place that the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. A terrible place of always dying and never able to die. Tormented. Jesus tells the story of two men in the Bible. One was a beggar named Lazarus. And the other was a rich man. And the rich man had everything that this life has to offer except Jesus. And the beggar had nothing that this life has to offer except Jesus. And Jesus says that the beggar died and the angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and he went to hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he might put the tip of his finger in some water and touch it to my tongue, because I'm tormented in these flames." And Abraham described for him that there's this great gulf between you and me. And those that are in hell cannot come here, and those that are in Abraham's bosom can't go there. Well, he said, then if he can't come to me, have him to go back and warn my five brothers lest they come to this awful place of torment. You see, he became an evangelist, but he became an evangelist too late for his brothers and for his family. And this is what Abraham said to him. They have the law and the prophets. They've got the Bible. And he said, yes, but if someone would return from the dead and tell them about this awful place, they would repent. And this is what Abraham said to him. Even though someone would return from the dead, they'll not repent. You have an opportunity today to repent and turn to Jesus. You have an opportunity today to be an evangelist for Jesus with the rest of your family. Mike, will you come and help us? Monica? With the Spirit speaking to your heart, when we give this invitation today, and we do it every Sunday, I'm going to ask you to step out from where you're at, come to where I'm at, and by your coming, say, I've not accepted Christ as my Savior, and I want to become a Christian today. If you're here today and there's some other prayer request, burden on your heart, maybe you're already a Christian and you've not followed the Lord in baptism yet, and that's a need in your life, or maybe God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, join this church. If you're a Christian, you've been scripturally baptized, we'd receive you on that statement, or move your letter from another church. Well, let's stand together, and I'm going to ask you to make that decision for Christ today. So as we sing, I invite you to come and begin to follow Jesus today.